It is with a great deal of pleasure that I introduce you Brad Dorn with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Foreign Agricultural Service. Brad was sworn in as ASPRS president yesterday at the ASPRS business meeting. His presidential address is on ASPRS, mapping, monitoring, and preparing for change. Please welcome Brad Dorn.
Thank you, everyone, and good morning. I appreciate everyone getting up early and coming to these sessions. I know sometimes these can be long days, but recognizing our awardees and those like Jim Hipple who put together such a wonderful program is really important, and I really thank you for that. In trying to put together a presidential address, that sounds awfully formal and something that I don't know if I can do. What I thought I would do is I would discuss how I got to know ASPRS, why I feel what you do is so important. And based upon my experiences back from topographic engineer in the United States Army to what I do now in USDA. So it's not meant to be a technical session, even though I think it sort of looks like that from the title. What I'd like to talk about a little bit is change. You've heard a lot about that, I'm sure, this week and other conferences. We all talk about change. It's obviously very important on a lot of people's minds. And one organization in the government talks about it and organizes it somewhat in this fashion, that we have major changes, political, economic, and security. Those are the ones that we really are worried about and want to drive policy towards. As part of those changes, though, earth resource changes provide major drivers. And that's when we start talking about climate, food, water, energy, and the environment. These changes are significantly important, obviously, to our world, but they're also important to us, obviously, as mappers, as photogrammetrists, as remote sensing specialists, because that's where we feel that we really can affect change. Just an example of some of the work that we've done and the example of how we can use this technology in natural disasters around the world. You know, the ability of using remote sensing now to impact decisions even when a country doesn't want to make decisions or feels like those decisions shouldn't be driven. In Burma, where they didn't want to talk about their disaster, we needed them to talk about it and understand as an international community, as a global community, we need to know these problems to help solve them. Now, normally we look at these changes and that's where it stops. We go, okay, climate change. Let's talk about climate change and figure out how to measure it and how to solve it. But we really need to focus a lot on how the world reacts to change. That drives a lot of the decisions and how we measure change. And often we sort of put that on the backside and we bring to the table, here's how we measure change. I don't care how you make decisions about change. And we have a little bit of a bind in the decision-making process. And so just a very general options of how the world reacts to change, and that is we react from actionable analysis using trusted information. That's the ideal situation that unfortunately rarely occurs. We try to get close to that. And then, of course, we just react. And too often, as John Townsend said yesterday, the assumption is we know where all the forests are. And in food security, we often say, well, of course we know what the food supply is in the world, don't we? Unfortunately, we have very poor statistics in many of the most critical areas of the world, and it changes rapidly. So what I have learned since my days in the Army and my days now in Foreign Agricultural Service monitoring the Earth, that actionable analysis from to Earth resource change must, not can, not should, not it would be nice to, must be derived from geospatial monitoring and geospatial monitoring through time. There's a lot of projects out there, one-time, one-off projects. We need to get serious about making sure we're managing this through time. You often hear our ardent call for Landsat and the continuity. And I think that we've said it so much, it just sort of gets blurry, and we have to go back to the real reason why we need that continuity. And I believe there's a strong reason. And of course, trusted information. And that brings me to you. Trusted information is information that is timely, reliable, transparent, and objective. Reliability and objectivity, those two aspects, that's scientific method. There's a professional core of members looking at it. That's standards. And we have to ensure that we bring those to bear on these types of global monitoring projects. Too often our society is responding now to not only the timeliness of the change. We have climate change and we have food security change, so we have seasons. And the other aspect of change is that now we're responding to information that's coming to us 24/7. We have markets that respond to 24/7 information. And so we can't just say, hold off, you know, Chicago Board of Trade, we're not ready to tell you the change yet. They're trading. Decisions are being made without us. The assumption that just because we haven't said what the change was doesn't mean people aren't going to respond. They're going to find the information. And so we need to be cognizant of that and understand that we need to be at that table. Maybe it is to say we don't have the information and you have to be careful about these decisions, but we have to be at that table. Another example of change in this assessment, when we try to assess food aid, we have to be cognizant of when the hunger months are. And so can we wait till after harvest or 3 months after harvest to decide what the production is in that country? Well, no, we need to know early. We need to know way before harvest because we need to get that food shipped to these areas. So it's just another example of understanding how the world reacts to change and how we have to respond to change, that we have to provide information in those frameworks in order to be relevant. So I sort of went backward. I talked about change, and it was mapping, monitoring, and change, preparing for change. And I'd like to go back to mapping and monitoring. I think there's been, when I got into the industry, we talked a lot about mapping. That we're mappers. And what that translates to a lot of people is that's one-off baseline mapping, and that's a singular product, and we don't have to talk about it anymore until maybe we update it later on. But what people need to understand in the change community, those who are directing policy towards change or responding to change, is mapping is monitoring. Mapping is the primary function of monitoring. Why do we have mapping standards? Well, that's to make sure, in large part, that when we map again and measure what's changed, that we can compare the two. That's critically important. Why do we have standards? It's so we can repeat this process. Why do we have scientists looking very stringently at the calibration of these sensors? And that's so we can intercalibrate. And we can measure what happened in 1970 compared to what we have now. And I think now what may have occurred over the past few years or past decade is monitoring change has become a bigger market than just mapping in our industry. And we need to make sure that we are bringing these mapping skills and these mapping techniques to these monitoring and monitoring change venues. We do know how to do this. We just didn't invent, or Google didn't invent mapping. We've been doing it for a while, and we know how to do it, and we need to put these methods into place So how do we prepare for change? First of all, integrated data analysis is so important now. The data is everywhere. And we have to be prepared to access this data. And we've talked about data policy. We've talked about different types of data formats. When we did our assessments in Iraq, we had to use multiple sensors. And just as an example, we have a research sensor from the U.S. government. We have a sensor from our partner in India. And we have a commercial sensor from a U.S. commercial firm. All have to be used interchangeably, very rapidly, to do an assessment of the agriculture in a very tense region of the world. Global scope. You all know this. I'm kind of talking to the choir right now. We have to know what's going around the world because it affects every one of us. We have a slight surplus in our food imports and exports, but guys, we're becoming a residual food producer. We rely heavily on our food supply on the outside world. We need to know what's going on. And so we need to be able to measure areas around the world, in this case, reservoirs. A large part of our food supply and a growing part of our food supply is going to come from irrigated agriculture. And we have the technology to monitor that from satellites. Rapid and continuous observations. So many of our decisions are being made, as I stated before, in just a rapid cable news, blog, Twitter environment these days. And we need to be at the table to understand that we have to bring information. And sometimes that information is we don't know yet. Or this is the best information, but we should be, ASPRS and our membership should be there at the table stating that. And just an example of measuring snowpack in Afghanistan and why we need that continuous observations. And another example of both temporal and inter-sensor calibration that is needed for our analysis, and here with the Indian AWIF sensor and Landsat, making sure that we can compare the two informations. As was stated earlier, that in one of our hot topics, that the future is where it's going to be more than Landsat, a lot more Landsat. Landsat's going to be this core mission that we have that hopefully will help us integrate all these data sensors. And that leads me to you. There's no manager out there, and there's no one, no one out there that's worked in this business very long that doesn't understand the value of our workforce, of the being able to follow a standard process, being able to have actionable analysis for a changing world depends so much upon an educated and vibrant workforce. And you just go to the smallest business or my small little cadre, and we see these analysts that know everything, and they just take off with this data and this analysis, and we need to nurture that and keep building upon that, and one of the biggest missions that ASPRS has, which leads us to ASPRS and what we're looking at today and into the future. Despite the recession, despite what's going on, we keep increasing our scholarships, and you just have to sit through all our awards and notice. If you get a little groggy, you got to also realize, wow, we're giving out a lot of scholarships. There's a lot of money out there. It's very successful. And please encourage people to apply for these scholarships. Our manuals, they've been sort of the core of our education process for so long, but we're not satisfied with that. And Cass Green tasked out Stan Moraine to take a look at the manuals. So that not only are we publishing these new manuals, like the GIS manual that will be out shortly, sensors and platforms, and hopefully LIDAR soon, but that we're also looking at these to try to make them more, not more relevant, but more accessible, and we put them in the right format and the right context so people can use them. Of course, PRS. It's very important. It's such a niche that we play in our society right now, is that scientific journal. And we need to keep nurturing that and keep making sure that that journal stays at the top of the line. And I have to really thank Russ Congleton, who picked it up this year and has continued to perform and distribute the PNRS journal and has done a wonderful job. And by the way, he also has a day job. So it's a lot of work. Anybody out there interested in helping Russ review, help keep that journal vibrant, please contact us. Standards and guidelines. Everybody yawn. Oh, boring, painful process, and it's one that people just want to walk away because it's just not fun to many people. It is extremely, extremely important, and ASPRS recognizes it, and we want to become that inclusive partner that not only within ASPRS but other organizations brings people together to try to put together guidelines. We're not going to become a big standards organization, but we want to provide clarity. We want to fill gaps where there's need for clarity. And, of course, the guidelines for procurement. And Doug Smith's name has been thanked before, and I have to thank him again. The patience and fortitude of guys like Doug are so needed, and I really respect and envy them also. Thank you so much for the student program, and I won't go down this list, but all those involved. Our student program has just grown so much in the past couple of years, and we need to continue to grow it. And this has been a true success of what we're doing right now and what the staff and the volunteers and the Student Advisory Council. And we want to continue that. We will continue that. And some of the things that you'll see this year and into the next, our provisional certification is taking off. You know, better communication tools for our students so they can interact not only with each other but with the society, and continue to grow our student assistantships. If you see a student or a volunteer, please come up and talk to them. I want so much for ASPRS to be and continue to be a very inclusive society, that we bring people together and that we're not hung up on our own little industries or our own little worlds. It makes us better. And also includes our international partners. It's obvious that we have to reach out to other organizations, and our role isn't just in the U.S. anymore. It's beyond the U.S. And I really am very proud that two of our longstanding members, past presidents, are officers in ISPRS now, and we've led the delegation to Beijing, and we're going to do much more in the future with ISPRS. The contribution to national standards and national policy goes beyond what we're doing here, and look out at some of these organizations, FGDC and other organizations. I'm getting beyond myself. I'm going to go to this slide. Acres. Look at the ASPRS members that are there. And if there's not ASPR members, become one on these committees. We need people in senior leadership positions to step up. So I'm not only reaching out to the members, our new members and our volunteer members, I'm looking out to your bosses, your executives, and getting them involved in ASPRS in these organizations so that we become more vibrant. I have to go back. Education. Once again, adding to that, our certification process is a gem of the society, and we want to make sure that that's nurtured and marketed and used by our big industry users like NGA, NASA, but also by our small businesses and those who need these qualifications. And finally, and most importantly, I want to recognize our staff. Does everyone know we're in a worldwide recession? Did that get out to everybody? Well, we are. And despite that, Jim Plasker and his staff, because of their excellent management of our finances over the past year, yes, we're hit like everybody else, and we have to be smart like everybody else, and we have to make decisions that maybe are tough. We have to make some tough decisions on priorities, but we can make those decisions. We have the flexibility. Because of that leadership, our awards and scholarship programs grew, and we can not only, now we're not able just to survive this recession, we're going to make and grow. We're going to implement programs. We have to be smart about it now and watch the market as our reserves go down like everyone else's. But we can thrive and grow. And great thanks goes out to the staff. And as I said at another meeting, that staff has to herd a lot of volunteers. And what a challenge that is. And we really appreciate everything they do. So ASPRS, responding to change. We need to know where we've been, and I hope the 75th anniversary has done that for you. Our mission is to connect industry with its members, making sure that we are all connected. One person talked about there's a lot of exchanging of resumes at this conference. Well, that's great. Let's make sure we can facilitate that. We need to be pragmatic and flexible, and not dogmatic. We need to be, that makes us relevant and more relevant to our society. And focus on keeping quality members in industry. We are concerned about our membership and our membership numbers, but you know, I'm perfectly happy with the quality. And if we've got good quality, good people that are working hard, maybe this is the size our membership should be, and that's just fine. And we'll keep focusing on that. I think, though, if we show that, our numbers will grow and continue to provide value. So wrapping up, unknown change and uncertainty is our obvious problem right now. We see it all over the place, from economy to our economy to security. But here's my message and my takeaway from this meeting is we're not the remedy for Earth resource change. We should never say that we are the remedy and that we can solve climate change. ASPRS cannot do that. But we should be very blunt with our decision makers, with those who are addressing climate change, Earth resource change, food security, national security around the world, that these problems will not be solved without ASPRS, expertise, technology, and vision. It will not happen. And those types of messages need to be spread out to our decision makers, our funding sources, and to our new administration. And I hope you can help me do that. Thank you very much, and please enjoy the last 2 days of the conference.